live. Welcome to Who's Your Hockey Live, episode 11, featuring Bobby Shea. For those of you that don't know, Bobby Shea is a seven-year pro, a alumni of Bowling Green State, 335 games played, plus 59, and had a career total of 300 penalty minutes. So, Bobby, thanks for being with us, man.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
Yeah. All right, dude, let's dive in. I want to go kind of back to the beginning, if you will, for the people that maybe don't know you as well or follow it as well as I do. So Honeybaked U16, Bell Tire U18, did I read that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Excellent. All right, man. So before we dive into like the intricacies of the hockey game itself, just talk about the development in the in that level in Michigan and two highly respected programs. Just kind of give us your thoughts on playing for those at a young age.
Yeah, no, obviously Troy area is a hotbed for players, so it's definitely very competitive. And, you know, Honeybaked, Bell Tire, Caesars, you know, every about 10 years teams change, but those are always top teams. So, you know, it was great to play for them. And my U18, I played for Chris Corey, who's a legendary coach. And, you know, it was a great experience. You travel a lot and you meet a lot of good guys. And it was just it was a great spot to grow up and play hockey in the Detroit area.
Very good. Now, it said Harrison Township, Michigan. Were you born there and moved away, or did you stay there for a bit?
Yeah, no. So I was born there, from there, still live there. I moved away my senior year of high school, and I went to Green Bay and played in the USHL with the Green Bay Gamblers, and been there for 2 years. And that was an awesome experience. I was lucky with my billet families and once again with the guys on the team, and then from there I went to Bowling Green.
Right on. And for those who maybe don't get out a map too often, Harrison Township is about, what, 40 minutes northeast of Detroit?
Yeah, not even. I'd say 25, 30 minutes. It's right on Lake St. Clair. And okay. In the summer, it's a good place.
Sure. Yeah, get the boat out and go fishing and tubing and all that. So, very good. All right, man. So, you mentioned Green Bay of the USHL. Now, did you go through a draft process to get into that?
Yeah, it was, I believe it was the USHL futures draft. I want to say it was I think a third round, I believe.
Okay.
But yeah, I did that, and then I went to camp, and you know, sometimes they draft for a few years, but I think the futures draft is usually the guys that they're trying to bring on right away. Mm-hmm. And after I think it was like a May draft, you know, I don't even know what month it was, but it was right after the season, and then I went right there after I was drafted.
Cool. Now, you mentioned prospect camp. What in the heck is that like? Because I'm looking at your DB. You had 137 and 152 respectively in penalty minutes. I'm sure you started banging right at camp.
Yeah, I mean, for juniors?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it was something like my second year in particular, we had a very, very good team.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the younger defensemen, so it's kind of, you know, the way I always played is you just kind of want to do it, try to do everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a player who's does this, and one guy fights, one guy doesn't.
Yep.
Then I'm going to go with the guy that fights. So it's not like you're going out there looking for it, but it's something that can set you apart and give you room around the ice. And I think in my career, as my career went on, I think, you know, when you play like that, you get more room and you're able to do more things, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Well, and it helps the guys buzzing around maybe up front that maybe don't have to answer the bell, if you will. You know, you step in and things like that. I'm sure, you know, a lot of my people that are watching know that, you know, a lot of the big defensemen usually do the bulk of the work for the forwards as far as the fighting goes. So, answer me this, and this is a question I didn't have written down, but playing in the U16, Honeybaked and Bell Tire, I imagine you had to wear a bowl or a cage, and then going to playing with a visor. How did that affect your game?
In particular for me, it never affected it. Yeah, so you can't wear a visor until you're 18.
Mm.
So first year juniors, I couldn't wear a visor either because I was only 17. And you put it on, and you can see guys, some guys play a certain way, do change a bit. But for me in particular, it never really, you know, it wasn't anything that changed my game. Like, yeah, you're more aware of, like, you know, pucks coming, blocking shots and stuff like that. But that was never never was a game changer for me.
Right. Well, and the only reason I kind of bring that up is because if you look at your PIMS from your 16, 18 year to your junior's career, it spiked in the junior career. And then when you went back to Bowling Green, I know that college you have to wear a bowl or a cage, and they went back down into the, you know, 50s and 60s. So I didn't know if that kind of played a small role in maybe getting, you know, a cage back on when you went to Bowling Green. I'm sure that affected things a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's how, you know, there's different games. Like, for me, like, my penalty minutes, I didn't really take many two-minute penalties. They're mostly fives or tens.
Right.
So I didn't take many twos. So that's why they would be different from college to junior or pro. And,
yeah.
You know, I think, you know, I was never in the box too much unless it was a fight or something.
Right. Well, and, you know, from my experience, and I played dog shit, you know, senior hockey, but everyone's tougher with a cage, I find. So
it's for sure
interesting. So, so talk about Bowling Green, man. I want to kind of get your thoughts on playing there. What was your major when you were there?
Liberal studies.
Mm-hmm. And then you did finish there, right?
Yeah, I did.
Right on. Excellent.
We had a great coaching staff. We had great guys there. My best buddies are from Bowling Green. We always stay in touch. We go back every year. We have a golf outing. Yeah, no, it was a great place to play hockey. And it was a great school to go to. Like, they got one strip of bars down there that everybody goes to, and it was definitely a great time, and I wouldn't change it.
Right on. Did you miss Kevin Dufour? Did you play with him?
I did not play with him. He was after me.
Okay, right on. Yeah, Kevin was on the show a couple weeks ago. He's killing it for the Fuel right now. I didn't know if maybe you'd seen him or played with him, but yeah, right on. Okay, so let's talk about the last year at Bowling Green. You ripped it up, you know, 40 games played with 20 points, and you guys, you know, had a pretty good year. But then at the end of that year, you signed with Reading. So kind of walk us through that process.
Yeah, no, my senior year, everything kind of came together for me. And it was definitely, I think, halfway through my junior year is when everything started to click. So my senior year had a good year. And then, we had a good team. And, I mean, we didn't win as many games as we wanted, but we had a bunch of good guys. So it's kind of, at the end of the day, that's what matters.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, then after the season, I left school a little bit early and signed with Reading. And I was lucky enough to jump on the best team in the league. We ended up winning that year,
mm-hmm.
Which is great. I played the first three rounds, didn't play the last round. I got a few American League guys back.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great experience. And, you know, I think it was for about 3 months. It was cool. You know, you're going to school, and all of a sudden you're playing, you know, playing pro hockey, and you're around, get a chance to win. So that was a super cool experience.
Right on. And then, so kind of moving forward from the 12-13 year into 13-14, you sign with Rockford, and you play 29 games, you know, 7 points, 3 goals and 4 assists, and 84 PIMS was plus 4. What's the biggest difference between going from all of that experience you gained from, let's just say, 05 playing Honey Baked until 2013 with Reading? How did all of that spark into that year with Rockford?
Well, I mean, everything just kind of comes together. You can't look at one particular area. You learn stuff as you go.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, you get more experience and everything, you know, starts to click. But with Rockford, I went to Chicago. I did a rookie tournament with Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And went to their camp and was lucky enough to sign a deal with Rockford. And I got a suspension that year too, so that's why my games are probably down. But it was cool. I mean, it's that year. I want to say I was only up. I think I moved like once or twice. It was a pretty steady when I was up there.
Yeah.
It was a good place. Like, I was treated well. You know, it's definitely, you know, you have to think the previous year you're playing college and you're playing pro and you're playing with some guys that have been regulars in the NHL, and
mm-hmm.
That was the first really taste of playing with guys that caliber, and it was a pretty neat experience.
So with that being said, did your game change quite a bit from going from CCHA, USHL, ECHL to the AHL as far as like your style, or did it just, they brought you in for a reason? You didn't have to change much?
like I'd say like in college it's more structured. Mm-hmm. Where you're doing certain things, and in pro, like, yeah, you're structured, but there's more skill involved, and I like the pro game way more than the college game. Mm-hmm. That game developed as well, but it's definitely a different game. Mm-hmm. That guys are they're faster, they're bigger, they're stronger. Mm-hmm. But they're smarter, so you're not running around as much as you do in college.
Right on. Yeah. Well, from the limited time I've seen you, you were kind of a fuel killer, you know, in the later part of your career, and I imagine your game didn't change a whole lot from 14 to 18, but man, one thing I always admired was your head was always up coming from behind the net, and breakouts seemed seamless when you were, you know, playing, so props on that, man. I see a lot of the guys playing now, and you know, their heads down and all of that, and it just, you know, it kind of, and it deters the play moving forward, so that's one thing I always admired when I watched you play. So so moving forward, let's talk about the East Coast markets. Reading, Toledo, Wheeling, South Carolina, and Fort Wayne. And all, you didn't have any years off. So, you know, 211 games played in the coast, 94 points and 450 PIMs, and you were plus 51. And I know a lot of people don't talk about plus minus a whole lot. I do. When I look at a lot of stat lines, that's the one thing I look at is, you know, the plus minus. What attributed to a good plus minus for you in your career? Because on your career, you're plus 59. So,
yeah. No, I mean, obviously, like, I think a big part is the guys that you play with, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously, plus minus can be screwed if, you know, you might step. I think my last year when I was at Fort Wayne, the first 17 games, I believe, or first 17 games, I was minus 11 and had 0 points. Like, it just wasn't going right for me. And then I turned it around and had a good year. Mm-hmm. But that's how it started out. And it had nothing to do with, you know, it just sometimes it's luck. Sometimes it's just not clicking. Mm-hmm. That happens. But plus minus, I mean, for a defenseman, I always like to try to play in the offensive zone. So it's kind of being deceptive when breaking the puck out, mm-hmm. Moving pucks at the right time, then, you know, just finding the right guys to get the puck to. And, you know, that's kind of what helps your plus minus. You know, obviously, mm-hmm. you got to score or get points to have a good plus minus, but mm-hmm. kind of just. It's just playing the right way and being consistent.
Of all the ECHL teams you played for, what's your favorite team?
You know what? They all had different aspects. Like I was treated well in all the places that I played in.
Uh-huh.
I absolutely love Fort Wayne. We had a great group of guys, and you know, it's a great place to play. We always get fans.
Yeah.
Now South Carolina, I love South Carolina. It's a great city. Once again, great group of guys. Those are probably my two favorite, just because. South Carolina is the Charleston's an unreal city. Mm-hmm. Fort Wayne, I played there for quite a bit and met a bunch of guys. Then also Toledo is an unreal market, and mm-hmm. you know, most of my where I went to school, my buddies are there, so that's definitely a top place as well.
Right on. Yeah, I admire Fort Wayne, and again, with us being the Hoosier Hockey Live, I mean, you know, those two being the only teams here in Indiana. I'm kind of jealous here in Indianapolis because they've got more season ticket holders than we've got seats in our barn, you know. So, you know, the fact that they're able to put 6,500 season ticket holders in the jungle every night that really care. And, you know, you're 68 of pro hockey there in Fort Wayne. I'm sure that, you know, there was love every night.
Yeah, no, it's like I said, it's a great place. They love their hockey there. You have good people. Met a lot of good people. Mm-hmm. Still keep in touch with some of them, and no, it was always a good place to play. Like, you knew you were playing a Friday or a Saturday night, and in Fort Wayne, you knew it was easy to get up for.
Sure, yeah, that's a barn. Shoot, I grew up in the Flint area, and then you know, the Flint Generals and the Fort Wayne Comets played. I mean, all the way back into the 90s, I remember there'd be fights in the stands as much as there were on the ice. Man, they were loyal to their team. They loved in the best and worst, you know. It was kind of romantic, actually, to see. I mean, they cared hard about their teams, and you know, we're trying to get that here in Indianapolis. I think that they're on the right track. You know, you're five with the fuel, and you played at Indiana Farmers Coliseum. It's a beautiful place to play. So,
yeah, I actually, when my and juniors, they were at a junior team, Indiana Ice.
So. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it was a lot different then than it is was. Now. So, which reminds me, you guys won an Anderson Cup in 2009 with Green Bay, and you guys eventually, did you guys play Indiana in the final that year?
So my second year, we lost to Indiana, I believe it was in the semis, semifinal, after being, I think we might have been number one seed, it was with John Cooper, their coach.
Yeah.
Here they ended up winning, yeah. I think we got the league title, I can't remember.
Yeah, yo, you guys won the Anderson that year.
But then, the next year, when I went to school, they ended up winning everything.
Yeah, it went, I think 06 Green Bay won it, and then 9-10 Green Bay won it. They've won it like 6 or 7 times. That's a really good USHL program to play with. Between them, Omaha, and Waterloo, I think they've got more cups than anybody. So, you know, when you talk about the upper echelon of USHL teams, you know, Green Bay, Waterloo, and Omaha are right there. So, yeah. All right, man, let's dive into AHL. You know, I'm reading Rockford, Hamilton, Hershey, and Rochester. Is that right?
Yep.
Excellent. And back-to-back-to-back years. So, 66 games played in the A, 13 points and 146 in PIMS. Again, plus 8. Seems to be a common theme with you, brother. So, just kind of give us your thoughts on your AHL career. You know, a little bit shorter than the E, but it's got to be fun.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, obviously, when you're a call-up, and you're not there study league, you have to kind of find a niche, and you know, you got to play hard every game. And at first, you gotta kind of win the trust of the coaches too. You know, so you know, they think, you know, you have an East Coast kid coming up, and they're not sure. So you know, you got to think you're not playing the minutes that you'd like to play at first. But if you continue to do well, you know, you kind of build on that, and the coaches kind of get their trust, and that's when you start to stick around.
Right on. Now, when you came up, I've seen a couple of fights on the hockey fights, man. Who was the toughest guy you fought? I mean, either ECHL or AHL, who's your toughest tilt?
Jeez, you know, I can't give you one in particular. I can tell you there's one time, though. Who was it? It was Garrett Klotz, who's about
6'9". Yeah.
He's about 6'7", and I'm 5'11", and probably, I don't know, he's got at least 50, 60 pounds on me, probably, is what I heard.
Yeah.
And, I wasn't having my year started out slow, so I'm like, you know what, kind of ran me into the boards, I'm like, let's go, and I think he thought I was kidding at first. And squaring up, I just remember, like, this guy was intense, and like, I remember, like, seeing his hands, and I was like, all right, he's a big boy, like, you're really good, you better be ready. And it went well, That's one time I'm kind of like, wow, this is a pretty big guy, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know Klotz well in Indy, man. He had a short stint with us, and then we played against him quite a bit. And I think it was when he was with Quad City. He had like a two or three and done night with Garrett Clark. I don't know if you know Garrett Clark, but he can bang too. Yeah, man. So I'm going to ask you the same question I asked you about the ECHL teams. You had 4 markets you were in. What's the one you kind of like the best?
Well, when it comes to like the every night going out and playing a game, it'd probably have to be Fort Wayne. Fort Wayne. I was in Toledo, but only there for like 19. I think it was 19 games.
Yeah, yeah.
But I played quite a bit with Fort Wayne, and
yeah, yeah.
You know, you want to play somewhere where you have fans and where hockey's loved. Like I said, I love the city of Charleston, bunch of guys. But like when it comes to going out and playing a game every night, it had to be Fort Wayne, just because the market there.
Yeah, I've heard Hershey's insane though.
Yeah, no, Hershey too. No, like I only played a couple games there. It just wasn't very long, but no, Hershey's obviously. I thought you meant East Coast, but no, Hershey's.
Oh no, I meant the American League. Actually, when you went back to Fort Wayne, I'm like, oh shoot.
I was treated really well in Rochester. I ended up tearing my ACL, and they had a great staff there to rehab me back into, you know, being able to go. And that only took 2 months, and I was surprised. And they were great there. I really enjoyed playing there.
Yeah,
they treated me really well, and I got a good opportunity. So I did like playing there, and they treat their guys phenomenal. So
right on. So what's Hamilton like, man? I've heard that's an interesting market. I'm trying to see. Looks like you're there about 25 games.
Yeah, so I was up and down a lot that year. Mm-hmm. Ended up signing, I think it was like Sergei Gonchar and Jeff Petrie, so that kind of bumped me down to the coast for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it was fine. Like I was in a hotel there where you cook and you do all your stuff. And I have a good buddy that lives just outside of Hamilton too, so that was nice. But right. I enjoyed playing there. I mean, it's different being in Canada. Things are just a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I was actually pretty lucky. All the teams I played with are relatively close to Detroit, where I'm from, so it was kind of cool too.
Yeah.
But Hamilton's now an OHL team. They moved Hamilton. They moved to Laval.
Uh-huh.
But it was cool.
Yeah. Now I'm looking down the list, man, and I'm not gonna say the word suitcase because you know, you were with one team or moved up. You know, you were at least there a year. But just tell me about the grind of being on different teams each year. I mean, I'm sure that's got to be hard.
Yeah, no, and like with me, it was and I was on some two ways. So it's like, you know, you're going to sign back with the same team and go on a two way again, or
uh-huh.
You know, try to get somewhere else. And you know, I trusted my agent, and you know, we go to certain teams that show the most interest, and that's kind of how it went. Like I was always on two way deals, and then my last year, my last two years, I was on ECHL deals because I didn't want to get tied up with two ways. Because you know, my year with Hamilton, I was up and down probably 8 to 10 times. Like it was crazy.
Right.
And very, I don't think I had my best year that year. There's no excuses. You gotta play well every game, but you know, right. Going up and down, mental straining.
Sure. And the travel alone.
Yeah. And it's not like you're going from the NHL to AHL where you're making tons of money on your East Coast and
right.
American League. And it's definitely a grind.
For sure. I look at this and the ability to play so many games and have a long career the way you did, what attributed to that? I mean, like, you're in great shape. I mean, you're no slug. What did you do that set yourself apart?
I mean, honestly, it's just being consistent. Like, you know, if you want, you know, you want something, you're kind of driven. Like, you gotta be ready to go at any time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you gotta take care of yourself. Like, you're gonna have fun with the guys, you know, when you have off days, but, you know, you when you're playing, you're with all your buddies and everybody. I got lucky. The teams that I played with, we always had good guys on our team. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of holds your accountability where, you know, if you're not showing up and you're playing, you know, you're being lazy, you're not doing the right things, like you could get called out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to be. The best teams that I played on always had a really, especially in the East Coast, always had a close-knit group, and that goes a long way. We got bumped out of, when I was in South Carolina, our team was awesome, and we were in this, it was the conference finals against Wheeling, and a team that was very inferior to us, and I had no problem saying that because they were, but mm-hmm. I know their group of guys got along really well as well, and they just battled, and they ended up beating us, and I don't think if they weren't as close as they were with each other, they never would have beat us. And we had a close team too, but they just ended up coming up on top.
Sure, and You mentioned Fort Wayne and that market earlier. We in Indy have just been shit pounded for years, and people can't understand why. Gary Graham plays a system that is just so, it's to the T, and they may not be in the lead in the first or second period, but the way they play the game, you know, I mean, did you play for Gary?
Yes, I did.
I mean, it's just, there has to be something. I mean, there's something. It's clear that they buy in, and they come back and they win a ton of games, and they beat teams they definitely some nights shouldn't. But I mean, it has to be the system. I don't know if you can speak to that or what.
Yeah, well, Gary's a great dude, like off the ice and away from the rink and at the rink, and he holds his guys accountable,
mm-hmm.
And he knows how to reward players and the team. And it's easy to play for him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So like with that organization, you know, like they have Jamie Chasma as a captain,
yep.
Cody Soles as captain as well.
Yeah,
I don't know who their captain is right now, but I think it's Jason Binkley actually.
Yeah,
you know, those are good dudes.
Yeah, Yeah, I like Cody Sullivan. In fact, I think he's coming on next week.
Yeah, and those guys, like, when you have a good core,
mm-hmm.
It's, you know, like last year we had a great core, we had a good team, awesome team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it goes a long way, because, you know, it's kind of guys, you know, like, we had a bunch of guys that could hold their own and do whatever, but the younger guys, it was good guys to look up to because you can see how they really wanted to win, and Gary knows that, and Gary knows how to play those cards, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of how we were always successful there.
Right on. Now, I want to talk about Soul Train since you brought him up. You know, he's been in the league a little bit now, and I think it's his fourth or fifth year with Fort Wayne. You know, when he came in, he was kind of a banger, someone that didn't get a ton of minutes to start. You know, he fought quite a bit. But you look at this year now, his PIMs are down, his plus-minus is up, and he's playing, like, freaking 27 minutes a night. I mean, speak to the kind of the development that you see. You know him really well, so just kind of break that down for me.
Yeah, no, so with, like Cody, like, I came in 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and, you know, I didn't know anything or much about his game. I played him a few times, but Cody makes good plays. He's got mm-hmm. a great shot. He's huge. Like, he's smart.
Yep.
He can skate. And I guess he's came a long way. That 2 years ago, his game changed. And, like, last year had a great year as well.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Binkley were playing together. They were really good together. And that's another big thing. Like, I had a good defensive partner. And, Curtis Leonard, and, you know, my success came off of him, and mm-hmm. I like to say that his came off of mine as well, and it's all about, like, gelling. And so with Cody, like, him and Bink were really good together, mm-hmm. and he was just he's a good player, and he's consistent. Mm-hmm. He's all, you know, he's one of those guys that embraces a leadership role and sure. does his job at night. So
yeah, well, and it's funny because my wife's a big Fort Wayne Comets fan. That's how she fell in love with hockey. We went to Grace College, Northern Indiana, and that's kind of how she got to exposed to the game. And she says it all the time, his decision making, and this is weird coming from my wife, but she goes, his decision making is just so much better than it was 4 years ago. And I'm like,
You know, and he's not fighting as much because, you know, they want him on the ice.
Yeah.
Not because, and the game has changed too. There's not, mm-hmm. there's not that many fights anymore. You know, he's more useful on the ice for them than in the box. So
sure.
He'll take the shots. And he's not a guy to back down, but, you know, mm-hmm. then again, the objective is to win the game. So you got to kind of do what you need to do to win the game.
Sure. Hey, did you ever play with Weber?
I did, yep.
Yeah, he's a Davison High School grad. I went to Kersley in the Flint area. I just didn't know if you knew him and played with him.
Yep.
Man, he's a stud.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, right on, man. All right, well, I had a question while you were talking. You mentioned, like, contracts and, you know, intricacies of that. You know, towards the later end of your career, you signed ECHL deals, although you still did get loaned in the last you know, two of the three of your last years, you did get loaned. How does that work? Do you have to renegotiate when they want you up, or how does that work?
Pretty much if a team calls and they want you, you go up, and then when you come back to the East Coast, you're on the same, you're contracted that team for the same contract. When you go up, you negotiate a contract, and you're making that money prorated for as long as you're there.
Okay. Right on, man. Yeah, that's a sick deal. I mean, you think about guys that sign deals with the AHL team and then have to go down. They get that bump, and sometimes that. I mean, you probably know better than most. That probably hurts quite a bit.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, it's never a good feeling to go down, but then you just gotta get back working, and, you know, a lot of it is just getting an opportunity. And, you know, injuries have to happen for call-ups and stuff like that. You never wish for people to get hurt, but that's kind of how you get your chance.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, early in the career, like, let's say you're not signed to an NHL or AHL deal. Is it advantageous to be on a deal in the AHL to start your career? Or do you find, I mean, looking back on it, I mean, obviously hindsight's 20/20, but do you think it's better to be on a lower deal and then go up, or on a higher deal and go down?
I think in your first few years, it's good to be on an American League deal just because you're going to get a call up. You're going to be probably one of the first guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be going shopping around.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to the later part of your career, then you don't want to be on like two-way deals. You want to be affiliated with nobody. That way, if you're doing well, anybody can call you up, and if you get dropped down, someone else can call you up.
Right on. When you were with Fort Wayne, I don't know, was your first year there, were they affiliated or were they independent?
Our first year, we were not affiliated.
Okay.
And then my second year, we were affiliated with Arizona.
Oh, okay. Does that change anything as far as...
Not really. I mean, it changes because the American League teams can loan players to the East Coast, and their salary cap isn't as high.
Right.
You save money on the salary cap and get better players signed on East Coast deals.
Mm.
It helps in that way, but when you look at it from an organizational standpoint, and you say I was on a contract with Fort Wayne, and they're affiliated with Arizona. No, Arizona had nothing to do with me. So, in that aspect, no, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, Fort Wayne, a few years before you got there, they were still independent and they had sick teams. And I could never understand why that was. If maybe the numbers are different if you don't have an affiliate because you can't get those players sent down. I don't know how exactly it works, but even though they're independent, they had sick teams. They were running over everybody.
No, they know how to find players. And like I said, they're kind of known for winning. So guys want to play there.
Yeah.
And the right guys. And that's why they've always had a winning team.
Yeah. So in the coast, man, who's your favorite teammate? I know you got a ton. I know you got a ton.
Favorite teammate. You know, I really can't just say one.
Yeah. And I knew that was probably the case, but if you had to choose, you know, maybe one or a couple, you know.
Well, one of my best buddies I grew up playing with is Sean Sabowski, and he's with Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
We're like 10 minutes away. But I go captain wise, like Jamie Chasma is a great captain. Like that's one guy that, you know, if you want a guy, being the captain of your team, like he's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he gets along with everybody. He's a great dude. He works hard, does the right stuff. He's got to be probably the best guy, teammate wise, like for a guy to have on your team. I'd probably say he's one of the top.
Yeah. Now you paused and laughed, so I assume there's a story that flashed into your head. You got to
go. No, I'm thinking of Jamie. It's just funny, you know. He's I think 35, 36, and we always chirp back and forth, joking around.
Yeah,
he's got his wife and his three kids, and he kind of just runs the show in that locker room. He's just a funny guy. He's good to be around, and he's just a good dude. And just laughing at him just because I can see him in the locker room, like walking around and just being a funny guy.
He's a joker, huh?
Yeah, he's a kid too.
Right on. So being in Fort Wayne and having that camaraderie that, you know, you can almost see it on the ice that you're just a big family. I mean, give us kind of a away from the room story that kind of sets that team apart from, you know, all the other teams you played for, because you speak so highly of them.
So where all the guys live, they live in one spot, you know, and that's usually pretty similar with East Coast teams. Some are spread out a bit.
Yeah.
We're all in like in one area. So like when there is a team party, everybody was there. And there wasn't one guy that we didn't get along with. Everybody gelled. And like I said, that was a reason why they are so good. Mm-hmm. And it, just being, you know, just going to the parties, the guys, like it was always a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you drink, you have your rookie parties and stuff like that. That was always just those are always the experiences that you'll remember, like with your buddies.
Hmm. Right on. So I want to ask you about something that, I never played hockey at a high level, man. I'll be the first one, but I love the game more than anything, you know, other than my wife, of course, but, explain this money on the board thing, because a lot of people have heard this term lately and no one knows what it means.
Yeah. So like, before a game, some guys, you know, after a warm-up, some guys will walk up to the board. If they played for the team they're playing against, or just want to have a good game or feeling good, they'll walk up, they'll write their number up, and they'll throw some money on the board. So, you know, you could, like for the East Coast, you probably have a couple hundred dollars on there, maybe close to a grand sometimes. And then if you win, that money gets paid to the team fund where you pay, like, you know, whatever you put on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And that money kind of goes together as we do team events that you can pay for it. But if you lose, you don't pay the money. So it's pretty much, you put the money up there thinking you have a good game, and then you win, you pay the money, and it's all in good fun.
Right on. Yeah, for some reason I thought it was a bounty system or something. I don't know why I was thinking that, but
no, nothing like that. Like, you put like a game winner gets this, or we win goes to the team fund. You kind of just make your own thing of it.
Oh, okay. So you didn't necessarily have to go to the team. You could say game winner gets 50.
Sure.
Yeah. Right on, man. That's cool. Yeah, that definitely keeps things loose. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure things did get heated though. If you're up two and then you let in a softy, I'm sure you're yelling at the goalie if you had the potential game winner.
Nah, I mean, the guys don't think, like, you really don't even think about it when you're playing. But it's always cool when you, like, Gary would walk in and he'd put, like, money on the board or something, you know, it's just always kind of cool. Like, it just kind of keeps it loose and gets the boys going a bit.
Right on. In the Coast, what was your highest board total?
Jeez, I can't remember. I'd say around a grand. It probably wasn't too high. Mm-hmm. The American League, those guys have a little bit more money, so it goes higher and higher.
Right on. Yeah, yeah. Cool. Well, man, I'd like to hear a couple off-ice stories, man, if you got a couple aces in the hole.
I'm trying to think. I don't know any particular ones I could say. I mean, off my head.
You don't want to sewer anyone.
No, I wouldn't sewer anybody. Oh, I mean, you're with a group of 20 guys, so, I mean, there's always something going on. And, you know, nothing bad, but there's always guys doing stuff that, you know, you get laughs out of, or, you know, just stuff like that in particular.
Sure. Right on, man. So you being a kind of a Michigan guy coming up, you know, obviously you're probably a big Wings fan, I take it.
Yeah, growing up I was. To be honest, I'm more of a Lions fan than anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's tough. Right on, man. So do you watch a lot of hockey now?
You know, I do with my buddies. I never looked at hockey as a job, but, you know, you play a lot, and then it's, you know, let's go watch hockey, and, you know, I'm fresh out of not playing, and I still miss it a bit, so it's kind of hard sometimes to watch games, you know, because you kind of want to be out there. You know, and so at this point in my life, like, do I need to watch a hockey game? No, not really. It's kind of just been there, kind of done that, and it's sometimes a tough pill to swallow, you know, kind of wanting to be out there, so.
That's interesting insight, man. That you maybe don't want to watch a game because you miss it. I don't think I've ever heard that. That's pretty interesting, man.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, it's sometimes it's not, you know, it's not something you want. Oh, I'm gonna go watch. I'm looking forward to this hockey game. Now in the future, you know, I love hockey. Hockey has been at my whole life, you know.
Right.
So, at that point, I'm sure I will, but. Like right now, it's kind of like, you know what, and just you take a break from it because you do miss it.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm sure you've watched enough to know what's going on. Who do you like moving forward for some of our fans that maybe watch the NHL game?
Well, I think Washington Washington or Tampa will probably end up winning. That's just because you got to look at, like, Washington's been there and they just won a Stanley Cup, so they came off playoffs. Now, playoff hockey does get more intense. And so when you have these guys, they're probably playing the regular season like, oh, shit, like, this isn't playoff hockey, and they're just playing.
Right.
And once they playoffs, I bet you their game
ramps
up further, and they, you know, start beating teams and stuff like that. That's how the game works. Like, yeah, regular season, you need to be on top of your stuff, but, you know, when you have a guy like Ovechkin or something, it's so good. Like, when it's playoff time, he's really going to buckle it down.
Sure. Yeah, I love the way Toronto's playing. They've got a good crew there. I mean, every line is sick. Their D pairs are pretty good. I think they might have the juice, but I agree with you. I think if any year is Tampa's year, I think it's this year. They've been playing well. I mean, they got the wheels beat off them by San Jose last night, but by and large, I mean, shit, they hadn't lost a regular regulation game in like 17 before last night. So,
I played for Cooper my second year in Green Bay, and he just knows how to win games. He knows how to get his, you know, he's a player's coach, and he knows how to get his team ready and prepared, and he knows how to win games. I mean, the guy, if you look at where he came from, Junior B, Junior A, American League, NHL, he's won everywhere he's been.
Sure. Yeah, and it's kind of interesting watching his trajectory, almost like a player, you know. You know, took the right road, and it's cool seeing him up. And you know, Blash same way. You know, was down, then got called up after a Babcock move. So it's playing for him, I imagine, was a real treat.
Yeah, it was. It was a fun year, and like our team, we didn't have any like all stars on our team. Mm-hmm. We just had like team toughness, and we had a great group, and he just knew how to get us to play, and he rewarded us well, and that's kind of what you want, and I could see him. That's why he was going to be successful in pro, because he knows how to manage players.
Awesome. Well, Bobby, man, I appreciate you taking time for us today. You know, a lot of good insight and talking about your career and even some stuff off the ice too. It was a lot of fun, man. I can't say thanks enough.
Oh, no, I thank you for having me.
Yeah, very good. All right, man, we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Thank
you. Thanks, Bobby. All right, guys, that was Bobby Shea. Pretty good interview, right around 40 minutes. So that was episode 11. So I would like to say thanks to Steiner Sports Training. Steiner Sports Training is the premier facility for hockey here in the Midwest. They've got everything from an Olympic-style weight room to turf runs where you can push and run on the turf room side. And then they've got the hockey treadmill on the deck. So, you know, anything that you need for your game, you know, Steiner has it. Whether you play hockey or you don't, it's a great place to work out. My wife works out there. She doesn't play hockey, and she loves it. So go to SteinerSportsTraining.com. They've got a couple Groupons out right now as well, so jump on there and get a piece of the action. Again, it's SteinerSportsTraining.com. Thanks for your support of Hoosier Hockey Live. Again, thanks to Bobby Shea and his time and efforts there. Really good talk. So hope you guys enjoyed episode 11. Thanks for your support and love. Next episode will be I believe it's Sunday, and that will feature Cody Soul from the Fort Wayne Comets. So thanks again for everyone tuning in. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, and we'll see you soon.